You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
To me, this is like really personal. The reason why I do this is I grew up on my territory. My grandma taught my mom. My great-grandmother lived to be 113 years old. And she lived off the land, outlived all her children. So she taught her grandchildren how to take care of the land, how to live off the land. And said it was for important to them to teach us. And my mom has taught me how to live off the land. I didn't see PNE. When we went for summer holidays, all the kids would come back with their stories. When a teacher would ask, what did you do for your summer holidays? You'd hear PNE, went to Edmonton. And when it came to me, I would be talking about the territories. I went fishing. I went hunting. I went picking berries. That was my summer holidays, and I'm so thankful for it. Because if I didn't have those summer holidays, I wouldn't be standing here saying we're defending our lands. I come from the Hunastat Dene people. You probably hear that a lot in the media because you say it's the Hunastat Dene that are fighting industry. They call us the people of the headwaters. Because we protect the headwaters, the very headwaters that are being impacted by industry now. It's the Buckley and the Skeena River. Like the Morris River flows into the Buckley and then into the Skeena. The grandma I was talking about had the name Nedibis, which now my uncle holds. My Uncle Warner, he heeded my grandma's words and constructed two trapline cabins on the shore of Morris River. And it was shamelessly burned to the ground by Canfor Logging Company. Our lessons learned. If you see the pictures there, it's a snapshot of the Hunastat Dene's Yinta. It's our territories, taken only a few years ago. Take note of the extremely high degree of deforestation. You see all the bald spots? Those are clear cut. That impacts our ability to go pick berries, hunt, pick our traditional medicines. And just recently, we drove, and for 36 kilometers, it's all clear-cut. And coincidentally, it's in a route of the pipeline. Time for change. It's awakening for my clan. On October 5th, 2009, we attended an all-clans gathering in my community. Five clans of the Wet'suwet'en Nation unanimously opted out of the BC treaty process. A decision was made to begin asserting our rights, rights we've never given up. We've never ceded or surrendered our land. And it's our responsibility to take care of that land. From that meeting, my clan designated me as their spokesperson to deal with industry, anybody coming onto our lands. I'm responsible to relay the message back to my chiefs and my membership on what industry is proposing and relaying the message back on what my chiefs and membership say, whether it's no. And most of the time it is no, we don't agree to any industry. It's a new beginning. Accountability, responsibility, and respect for our lands. On March 29th in 2010, we sent out a media release informing public, government, and industry. Unistat Dan is a sovereign and independent of the Office of Wet'suwet'en. OW is no longer has 22,000 kilometers to negotiate. After we declared that in the spring, myself and Togustai, my fiancé, were going out to check on one of our territories. It's called Poplar Lake, Takatothlin. We had a snowmobile in the back of our truck. We thought we were going to come in, park the truck and snowmobile into the rest of the way into the cabin. But when we came to the spot where we were supposed to snowmobile in, the road was plowed. So I looked over and I said, "What's going on here? Somebody's in here." And he looked right away and said, "Mining." So we drove all the way into my cabin, and when we reached the cabin site, we just said, "We'll leave the truck right on the road, so whoever's in there is going to have to honk when they come back out." Sure enough, the next morning, heard a horn honking, so we got up and just went quickly to the road. Asked the gentleman that got out of the truck and come over, I asked, "Who are you and what are you doing here?" And he said he came from, he was working for an exploration company, and he's the owner of a company that's setting up a camp. And I just said, "You never spoke to my clan. I've never heard of you. You guys don't have any business in here. It's considered trespass." So we let him leave. I took his car and let him go. And he said he still had people back at where they were setting up the camp. So after he left, Togustai and I drove over to the site where they were trying to set up the camp. And I went over and spoke to those two workers that had left there and said the exact same thing to him, that they didn't have permission to be there, that they shouldn't be there. And just before I left, I told those workers, "Everything you have here, you're trespassing, you don't have our permission to be here. So if you don't have everything out of here by Friday 12 noon, everything you have here belongs to my clan." So after we left there, I decided I needed to go home right away and report to my chiefs what we came upon. And they thought it was important that they wanted to go out and see it for themselves. So they all went out, checked for themselves, and said the exact same thing as I told them, that they had to be out of there by Friday. And as you see, there was mostly women. It was women and children that did the blockade, because we blocked the road to make went to make sure no other equipment or anything else went in, so we did a blockade along with a couple of our spouses that stood by us. We put up signs. And by Friday 12 noon, they had everything loaded up, and the women followed them out past the blockade. As you could see in the pictures there, they're hauling out all their equipment. And shortly after, because of that blockade, somebody burnt down our cabin. So on May 29th, 2010, we put out a media release, and the message read, "The Unistat Dan will not be swayed from protecting our territory from industry or government." And from that point, we decided we wanted to start setting up camps. But before that, I need to mention that the Morris River, the one I said I gave an explanation of, we were the people of the headwaters. They're proposing several pipelines through that territory. And one of them is PTP, that's natural gas, and Enbridge, Kinder Morgan. I think there's two others, I can't remember them right now, but right now we're battling PTP. At first, most of our focus was on Enbridge, but while we're spending so much time focusing on Enbridge, we didn't realize that Pacific Trails Petroleum had already got all their permits in place and already have permission to go ahead with a gas line pipeline through our territory, the exact same route as Enbridge. And when they first came around, they went to our chiefs, and a land use study had been done, and 100% of our chiefs, the Wet'suwet'en chief, said no to the PTP project. So what did PTP go and do? They turned around and went to Aboriginal bands, the band chiefs. And they went to Carrigsakani Tribal Council. It's a tribal office that all these bands operate under. So they went to these people and got an agreement signed. So they say they have 16 out of the 17 Aboriginal people in agreement with their project. So we heard they were having a meeting in Prince George, a contractors meeting they called. They were going to offer contracts to the Aboriginal contractors. I found out about this Thursday evening and decided I was going to take a day off work Friday. Togustin and I jumped in our car, probably 5-6 o'clock in the morning, drove all the way to Prince George, and we went to this contractors meeting, sat there. Togustin kept putting up his hand, and the people keep looking and just ignoring us, just kept bypassing us. And finally, we just stood up, and I said the very same thing that 100%, I said, 50% of your pipeline is on Wet'suwet'en territory. The Wet'suwet'en chiefs 100% said no to your project. And you turned around and went to band offices to try and say you've got consent from the Aboriginal people. And I said to Del Gamu, Castaway Court Crease, did not say band office. It did not say tribal council. It said the hereditary chief name and their house members. I said, I am here on behalf of my chief, Nettie Beast, and I am house member. And we said no to your project. You will not step foot on our territory. And from all these pipelines trying to threaten our territory, we started having an annual action camp. We started the first one July 14th, 2010. And we had several sponsors, and then IEN was one of our sponsors, Greenpeace, Council of Canadians. We had several different sponsors, and the first camp we had about 60 people come up, and they came from everywhere. The States, Minnesota, Chicago, Toronto, Saskatchewan, Alberta. And during this camp, we did a march down Smithers, and we stopped at every ministry office that's been giving out permits on our territory. So we did a march and had a bunch of signs. We stopped at the BC Forest Office because of all the logging that continues to happen. And we marched down Main Street, stopped in front of Royal Bank, for the purpose that they were supporting the tar sands. And we stopped in front of Ministry Environment, who issues out the permit for mining. And then we had a camp in 2011, and most of that focus was to try and create more alliances. It was a much smaller camp, and we managed to do it pretty much on our own. We didn't get any financial supports anywhere, but we decided we were going to go ahead with it anyways. And we did try to do community education because we thought it was important. He said it's fine and dandy to create alliances all around the world, but if your own community is not educated, who's going to be standing with me when I'm blocking industry? We don't want to be standing alone, so we... This picture here is where we started practicing free, prior, informed consent. And that's where the very questions I have already been asking industry, we ask each of the camp participants who they were, why they were coming to our territory. How are you going to benefit us? And we're starting to practice that quite a bit. And the reason why we oppose the Pacific Trails pipelines, because they plan to lead the way for all other proposed pipelines. If we let one in, then they're going to say there's very little mitigation. They've already impacted the land, so it'll make it much, much easier for Enbridge and any of the other companies trying to come through. The route that they plan to go through the Morse River, Gosnell Creek, is a main spawning channel for our salmon that feeds the Buckley and the Skeena. That's what we're fighting hard to protect because that's our main food source. All of our people depend on that. The bears depend on that. And the trees they're going to cut down for the pipeline, the moose and all the other animals depend on that. And I just put up some pictures. If there's the map for the Pacific Trail planned route. And then the next one shows it's the exact same route as the Northern Gateway Pipeline. And what Pacific Trails has done is they've lied to our people saying that pipeline is existing, it's already there. We're just going to put a bigger line in. And they're not telling the truth, it's the exact same route as the Enbridge Pipeline. And this is the cabin that was constructed in 2010. And it was purposely positioned directly in line where the GPS shows the pipeline is supposed to go. And that is where our camp is. We had a third annual one this year, and the river that goes by it, everybody, you can walk up to that water and drink out a cup. It's that safe, and that's the water we're protecting. So there will be no pipelines. We want our territory to provide salmon, moose, berries, and medicines for generations to come. I don't want to be saying what used to be to my children or my grandchildren.